Hello, and welcome to the fifth edition of the Next Man Up podcast. My name is Logan, and I'm here, as always, with my good friend Jacob. Jacob, say what up.
What it do?
And we are joined by a very special guest this time, somebody that we've mentioned a lot on the podcast, mostly in negative ways, but we can change that around and have him defend himself and also show you just exactly where his hot takes and his sports takes come from. Not all of them are hot. I shouldn't say it like that. We're probably painting a not an accurate image of him in your guys' minds. But we'll see if he can change the direction of that. And that is Anthony. Anthony, say what up.
What's up?
Yeah, so then we're going to be talking about NFL stuff today. We're going to get into college football, basically in general, especially Husker games, since we are located in Nebraska. And then we're going to go into some NBA stuff too. But to start off, I wanted to ask Anthony about the Philly game. The Eagles finally won a game, but apparently it was brutal to watch. So let's hear what Anthony has to say.
Definitely brutal. To be fair, the Giants did match up pretty well against us with the Eagles' offensive line super banged up. Literally everybody hurt except Jason Kelce, and then with Lane Johnson leaving mid-game. So that was very detrimental to the team. Although Wentz only had three sacks on him. So overall, yeah, very shaky game, especially with Eagles having like five empty red zone trips, which was hard to watch. But I think we were going to win either way. So I'm not really upset about how the game went, but obviously it'll get better with players coming back. I mean, Carson Wentz showed that he's a great quarterback with what he did, but the defense looked shaky, and just definitely the team could make a lot more improvements.
So you are still high on Carson Wentz then?
Oh, very.
As your quarterback?
Very.
Okay, because I hear from a lot of Philly fans that, at least on Instagram and stuff, that they don't like Carson Wentz anymore.
Well, because Philly fans on Instagram are actually terrifying.
Yes.
Like, it's literally just a molten lava. Like, if there was a river of hot takes, that's what Philadelphia Instagram is. It's like, I'm pretty sure that there's still some Philly fans that will argue that, like, Donovan McNabb was the greatest quarterback of all time.
Oh, yeah, 100%. And it's scary to watch.
And I get that being passionate isn't bad. But no, with the same thing, I kind of looked at the Philly game the same way. Like, I'm glad they won a game they should have won, but it hurt to watch. It was hard to watch.
Definitely.
A lot. I wasn't even a Philly fan. Just as a football fan, you're like, wow, this is literally just people throwing poop at a wall and hoping it sticks. This hurts. But yeah, and like in Philly's defense, they are pretty beat up. That wide receiver room has been beat up since, like, Terrell Owens, like, played in the Super Bowl with a knee injury. Not actually that bad, but was it his knee? I don't know. This is irrelevant. I'm talking about someone that played in 2005. Anyway.
Yeah.
About the receiver core, though, receiving core, we did find a bright spot in Travis Fulgham. He has been, very consistent. He had another solid game with 5 receptions, 73 yards. So he's been getting receptions, getting a lot of yards, and I mean, he's only going to get better. So he's getting his chance, and he's proving it, and I definitely see him as a part of the future for this season.
Mm-hmm.
But
for sure.
Yeah, for sure. And that game was against the Giants, right?
Yep.
Okay. Yep. I saw on, like, the talking head shows, like First Take and stuff, like clips on YouTube. Daniel Jones, he fell, he tripped.
Mm-hmm.
Feels bad. He was running so hard, he was scared he was gonna get caught.
Yeah.
And then he didn't get caught, but he caught himself. It was bad.
Oh wow.
I felt bad because he was like hustling, and you could see it. And then at one point, he kind of like got off his gait. Is that the word? like his gait was off. That's weird and deep to say it like that. Anyway, he like got going. He was running too fast, running too hard, and then he just tripped himself up, which was, I felt bad. I was like, dang, dude, that's an L.
I mean, they scored it away, so.
Yeah.
And when was that? Was that in the fourth quarter?
That was, or like was it in the third, second or third?
It was in the middle. Yeah, it was like middle of the game. It like wasn't crunch time or nothing like that.
Yeah, but that does suck. This week, the games that I watched, I think, so last week I watched three. This week, I don't think I watched as many. I think I watched I did watch Casey and Broncos for sure. Which that wasn't very pretty. It started off not bad. At first, I was like, oh, the Broncos are actually playing pretty hard. But then their PAT kicker missed the first PAT of the season. I don't know if they met his career, but they said that's his first PAT miss. I don't know what they usually mean by that when they say that, but that was really the game that I remember. I think there was, what were some of the other Sunday games?
The Cardinals and Seahawks was a great game.
Very good game.
I don't think I saw that.
It was the Sunday night game. Very good game.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So did you guys want to talk about that at all? Do you want to wait on that for later?
Yeah, I'll ask, like, so I'm not doing big into fantasy this year. I didn't really have a group together to do fantasy. But as we do every week, Logan, how's your fantasy life? And then Anthony, I believe you told me before the show that you're also doing fantasy stuff. So Logan, you can go first, just kind of recap your fantasy life. And then Anthony, go ahead and jump in with yours as well. Which yours is new, so you can break down your whole team and how your season's been going, Anthony. Mm-hmm. But yeah, Logan, what's up?
Yeah. So for the listeners that have been listening consistently, you know that I'm like 500 now in my league, 3-3. Was 1-3 at one point. Past 2 weeks were really good to me, and this week I'm about to become 4-3, and I'm about to double my opponent's score for the second week in a row. But this time I'm not scoring near as much. I'm gonna finish with like 98, and last week I scored 140. But my opponent this week he finished with 43.5. So even more than double. But yeah, he had Garoppolo as his quarterback, who only scored like 5 points, or yeah, seven points. But yeah, one thing that I was like scared about for a little bit is I saw Tom Brady he was on my bench, which I actually made a trade this past week. Jacob said that I lost the trade, but I ran it by Anthony too, and he said that I won the trade. So we'll see. Yeah, we'll go over it again. I traded away Josh Allen, Melvin Gordon, and Robert Woods. And I received Tom Brady, Adam Thielen, and Daryl Henderson Jr.
Why do you think he won that trade?
I think he won the trade because Tom Brady has been good.
Is a terrible fantasy quarterback and had 2 good weeks.
Yes, but he is getting his weapons back. Chris Godwin's getting healthy.
Okay, maybe this is the first year Tom Brady's had actual receiver threats. You're right. Okay.
They just signed Antonio Brown. Scotty Miller has been good as well.
That was not a thing when I talked to Logan. That did not happen yet, in my defense.
That's true,
yeah.
Anthony Brown was not a Buccaneer when Logan asked me about it. But anyway.
Right? Yeah.
Did I say Anthony Brown?
Antonio you did say Brown. Anthony Brown.
I'm out of control. Yeah. Sorry,
but Tom Brady is only meant to be my backup quarterback, too, so I'm not
No, he's a great backup.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So he's been solid. Melvin Gordon got arrested and hasn't really been playing, so I think it was good that he traded him away. And he got Daryl Henderson in return, who's been very solid for the Rams, very consistent.
Consistent. Mm-hmm. Don't use the word solid. Say consistent.
Solid, consistent. Pretty much the same thing. Adam Thielen, you can always rely on as well.
Yeah, until the entire roster in Minnesota gets blown up after they fire Mike Zimmer.
Yeah.
They're gonna. That's why that was the biggest thing that I was like, oof. Mm-hmm. Like that was like I was like, I think that he, I'm scared of Brady as a fantasy quarterback, but he does have a lot more weapons and they're all coming back. So that one I probably changed. I think he won the quarterback half of the part of the trade. Because Josh Allen, I don't know how consistently he'll do anything. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The Bills
have
looked bad the past couple weeks.
Yeah, and I feel like I sold while his trade stock was really high also.
I think that he got a slight upgrade only because he's more consistent than Melvin Gordon and Henderson. But I thought he lost the Robert Woods, Adam Thielen, because I just don't think Minnesota is going to, like, Adam Thielen will get Adam Thielen stuff, but, like, if that team gets blown up, who knows what Adam Thielen's role is going to look like. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's fair. But
that was the only thing that I was skeptical of.
Mm.
But Brady is a lot better of a upgrade now that Antonio Brown is there.
Playing well.
A lot better. Anyway, yeah, no. So I still think it's like a pretty even trade. I don't know if I'd say you lost it anymore because I think Brady's value went up a lot. I still don't think he's a good fantasy quarterback, but yeah. I'm also not a huge fantasy guy. I am, but I'm not at the same time. Like, I don't have a team this year, so I'm not, like, one of those fancy people that, like, goes ree for fantasy.
Yeah. Well, he scored 37 this week, 36.9, and Kyler Murray scored 37.1. So, like, for a while, I was like, oh, no, why did I not start Tom Brady? Like, that, like, I was kind of mad because I'm really particular about that. I hate when my bench is just scoring so much, especially if it's like they're projected not to. But I guess what else? I don't know what else I'm supposed to do if like the projections are such a certain way that I'm like, I just need to follow those. But because I feel like mathematically that's the best way to play, but I can't tell.
I would definitely stick with Kyler Murray.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm glad that he like barely beat him. He got 37.1, so I didn't end up actually losing anything by not having him in. Yeah, DeAndre Hopkins had 14.3. Derrick Henry, as always, was scoring some. So what about you, Anthony? What's with your fantasy team?
I've been having a good year. I was 5-1, but I'm gonna go 5-2 after playing the other leader in my fantasy group or league, whatever. So I'm gonna lose this one, but I still put a solid outing. Russell Wilson, 29 points. He did have 3 picks though, which was unfortunate. Antonio Gibson of the Washington football team has been very good recently, has been getting a lot of carries and scored 18.8 for me.
Oh yeah.
That's good. I have Joe Mixon and McCaffrey, but both are hurt. So I picked
McCaffrey's
up
making a big push to play Thursday though.
Oh yeah, I'm very excited for that.
I've seemed to like completely neo dodge, like that was a Matrix reference, all of the injuries this season. I've had literally like no injuries other than Debo Samuel was like for a couple weeks, but
which isn't too major, so.
Yeah. So I don't know how. Like, all the top teams above me have been wiped out. Like, all the people who picked, you know, like, McCaffrey and Barkley and Chubb and, like, all those people. So I'm feeling pretty lucky.
So I picked up Giovanni Bernard instead, and he put up 20 points. So I was very happy with his performance. And then Calvin Ridley, who has been one of the top receivers in fantasy, always
very
putting up
solid.
A good game.
Yep.
Slayton, who I thought should have torched the Philly secondary for a little bit. Jonju Smith, Titans tight end, who has been bad the past 2 weeks, only scored 2 points. So, not very exciting with that. Stephon Diggs, only 11. And then just down from there. So not the performance I wanted out of my team, I'd say.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah,
definitely will be better in the future with McCaffrey coming back and Mixon. So I'm all good though. So
for sure.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Because he's coming back within the next couple weeks, isn't he?
He's trying to come back this Thursday for this Thursday night game. Trying to. I don't know if he will, but trying to.
Yeah.
He better. Yeah,
that would be interesting. And Saquon's still out for the season, isn't he?
Oh, yeah, he's done.
Because he tore his Achilles?
ACL.
Yep. ACL.
Oh, ACL. Okay.
That's so did Odell, bad. And also injury news in the NFL.
Oh, Odell. Yeah. Yeah, that just happened,
Odell
too.
Tore his ACL.
Mm-hmm. Which I heard somebody say that Baker Mayfield intentionally overthrew him or something like that to get him injured. I don't know. Because he played so much better after he went out. Odell Beckham Jr. went out.
That's yeah, funny. No. That's speaking of that, too. Actually. No, that's a terrible. That's like a joke yeah. take. But
yeah.
speaking of that whole thing. So early in the game, when Baker started, I think it was like 0 for 5 with like a pick or something like that. And like everybody on Twitter and Instagram, and like I got a Bleacher Report notification that he's going to have a bad day. Baker Mayfield. But one of the few times I think in his entire career, Baker finally got a win against the social media trolls.
Oh, definitely.
He finally did it. He looked bad at the early game, but he ended the game like 22 for 22 or something wild like that. Five touchdowns, really good outing for him, but it was just nice to see that he's been a guy that's always been kind of like a, this is why you sit down and shut up type of thing. As a rookie, he did all these ads, and when they got all the hype, he got all hyped and did all these ads and stuff. And so now people, he finally got a win against social media trolls,
which
almost never happens. So that was good for him, speaking of the Brown situation. But
that's true, but you got to remember they did play the Cincinnati Bengals, who don't have the best defense. So
no, they do not. No, that's true, for sure.
Yeah. I'm still not high on Baker Mayfield at all. So.
Oh, no, I'm not high on Baker Mayfield. It was just nice to see him get something done.
Yeah, for sure.
Somebody I am high on, though. Justin Stinkin' Herbert. What a man. What a gosh dang man. He is the next Ben Roethlisberger. Just a big-bodied guy. I think it was what? Was it 3 touchdowns this weekend? Something like that?
I think so.
Granted, against Jacksonville, which isn't exactly like... It's a little bit of a struggle bus, but you know,
but he's
3 touchdowns, 347 yards on 62% completion rate. I'll take that 9 times out of 9.
Oh, for
the
sure.
A couple weeks ago when they played the Bucks, he was in a shootout with Tom Brady and almost came out on top. Like, I'll take that.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm big on Justin Herbert.
Yeah, for sure. And I thought he was the second best quarterback going into the draft over Tagovailoa Tua. And Jordan Love. Did he get drafted?
No, he
over
got
Tua?
Way. He was way. Yes, he should have gone over Tua.
I thought
we'll
so.
See this week that Tua is going to get baptized by Aaron Donald.
We should listen back to the draft to see if you guys said that.
We should. No, but just because of Tua's injuries, and I didn't really see why he was that high, honestly. I know he's a good quarterback, but like Herbert just looks like the perfect NFL quarterback you want. Big, strong, and who can also get out of the pocket and run. So
Yeah,
for sure. Jacob, what was your thoughts on the Bills game?
They're bad. They're just bad.
But
the Bills are playing like the Bills.
Yeah. After seeing what New England did this week, though, do you still think New England's going to win the division?
No.
No?
New England. So, for those, I'm not even going to give the people. You're going to have to go back and listen to last week if you want to hear the hot take from last week. But that hot take still stands, and I think it's becoming to cool down, and it's not really that much of a hot take. It's just a fact.
Mm-hmm.
New England's offense has a problem.
Yeah. That was the offensive coordinator, right, that you were talking about? In the hot take, yeah. Mm-hmm. But so have you changed your opinion on whether or not you think Patriots are going to finish 9-7, I think was your prediction?
I'm still holding it. In Bill, we trust. It's a lot less likely. Well, no, duh, it's a lot less likely now. There's less weeks to do it. But, I'm not feeling great, really. It's kind of weird knowing that we're on the playoffs outside looking in, because that's never really happened. But yeah, no, 2-4 doesn't really feel that good.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, I heard Bill Simmons say that that was the worst quarterback performance he's seen by a New England quarterback since, I think he said it, like, whoever the quarterback was before Bledsoe.
It'd be... Crap, who would that be?
He said it was like 25 years or something like that.
No, it's something. It's before I was alive.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think who that would have been. It was in 1992, and there was... The majority was Hugh Millen.
Oh, yeah. That's who it was. Mm-hmm.
I don't even know who this dude is. So, I'm not... I'm just... Yeah.
Yeah. So, but what were your thoughts, I guess, on, like, I guess more in specific to elaborate on how Cam played? Because I didn't see the game. I saw the final score.
But personally, this is where I'm at this point. I would like them to give the boy Stiddy more time to play.
Mm. Really?
Let Cam Newton, but my thing is, Cam Newton, if he has a good season, won't come back. Because New England probably won't pay him.
Yeah.
He was using this as an opportunity to prove that he can still play. Mm-hmm. And it worked for a week, maybe two.
I'd say after the first three, everybody was still pretty high on him.
No, I thought he was very solid.
Yeah, through week three, I thought he had some really good. Because I think week four was he was out with COVID.
I thought it was week three. He was out with COVID.
Oh.
Yeah, no, because yeah. You're right, I'm tracking. I don't know. I would like to see Jared Stidham because I think he's got more of a chance to be the future of New England than Cam does. But even though it is the future, I don't know how bright that future is. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, yeah, no, I still like Cam. I still want him to do well. If they give him an opportunity, obviously I want him to play well so he can go get his bag somewhere. Because I think he is still good enough to be a starter in the NFL in the right system. But Josh McDaniels, the actual human potato, does not have the ability. He's potato. Human potato. You know what? I'm going to go back to my hot take because I'm getting heated a little bit. Last week. For those of you, go listen to last week's hot take because that was way more passion. But, okay, this gets me going. Josh McDaniel, everybody was like, does Brady need Belichick? Does Belichick need Brady? Fun fact, I don't think either of those guys needed each other. Josh McDaniels needed Brady. Hard. Really hard, and you're seeing it now. Because fun stinking fact, Josh McDaniels went to try to go be a head coach in Denver, and they were bad. He got fired being 3-9. Whew. Then he comes back because, okay, and then, oh, look, we're winning Super Bowls again. Josh McDaniels and Tom Brady, what a good duo. Half the duo's gone is in on my MVP ladder somewhere, which we'll talk about in a little bit here. And one of them, I think, should not have a job. Go to Indianapolis and be the head coach, Josh McDaniels. You know who I want to be the future of the Patriots? Jared Stidham and Bill Belichick's son. I think it's Steven yeah. Belichick. Steven Belichick. You can't see, but I'm doing the WWE pointing in the sky yes motion right now. So put that in your heads if you know who I am. Go Steven Belichick. Boo Josh McDaniels. Thanks for what you did, but you planned around. Literally, I could have planned an offense with Tom Brady because he did just as much work as you did. Bum. Welcome to the corner of shame.
Wow.
Anyway, this is why I didn't put the Patriots on to the... So we do like a little rundown before everyone, and I didn't put New England on there because I knew that would happen.
Oh.
It's okay. No, it's okay.
Sorry.
It's probably a good thing you did. But yeah. It just has got me fired up for the rest of this show. The pod, whatever you want to say. And if people are trying to listen to this with homework, they're doing their homework or they're like trying to like just casually listen to something, then they got this fat kid just yelling at them. It's just... Anyway. Okay, so we talked about the MVP thing. I kind of brought up Logan. I didn't know that we were going to kind of transition into that, so we can just do that now.
Yeah, I think that's probably a good time.
Yeah.
So the guys, Anthony and Jacob here, guys who pay much more attention to the NFL than I do, I asked them to come up with their MVP ladder for this season so far. So it's kind of early on. We're only past week 7 now, but we decided to give – we're doing top 3, right?
Yep, top 3. Yep.
So they're going to give their top 3 from 3 to 1, I'm guessing.
Yes.
What you guys do whatever you want to do. But we'll start it off with Jacob. Who is your number 3 on your MVP ladder right now?
Well, I just talked about him, and this is the year of the quarterback for me, personally. I don't really see anybody. I think that Christian McCaffrey could have made an argument. I think that, but he got injured. I think Saquon could have. I don't know, obviously.
What about Derrick Henry?
Derrick Henry, no.
No?
He's done a lot, but he had some bad weeks. And okay. Oh, okay. Yeah, Derrick Henry is probably 4 for me.
What about
personally?
I guess I won't ask about it. But I mean, I'm guessing your 3 are all quarterbacks since you're saying that.
Yes.
So what about Aaron Donald?
No.
No? Okay.
He does a lot, but guess what? His team isn't a team that I consider scary.
Okay.
Because I did some 4-2 against the bad teams.
Yeah, I did some research beforehand. If you want a defensive player,
Levante David. That's an MVP defensive player.
Really?
Agreed.
Oh, yeah. Okay, maybe okay. That's a little bit of home bias. But like.
Over, I was going to say, I mean, I've been looking at, like, since, like, to prepare for this, I researched a little bit to see what other people were doing. And, those are the two guys that aren't quarterbacks that I see up there quite a bit. Like, I see on some people's they're putting Aaron Donald as number 1 right now. But I think Donald that's probably good, more hot takey.
But, like,
That's not a crazy cold take. You know what I mean? Mm. Like, yeah. He's over a sack a game. He's forced a couple fumbles. Like, he's doing his job very well. So I don't want to, like, quote-unquote take that away. You know what I mean?
He has more sacks than, like, at least 10 or something like that NFL teams this season.
No, for sure.
I think I saw.
For sure. But
yeah,
the thing is he had 4 against Washington, and that inflates your numbers a little bit. You know, like that Washington's a bad team.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't get a sack against Philly, which is a bad team in terms of protecting their quarterback.
Will they play Cincinnati?
Oh, anytime? If they play Cincinnati. Well, they're playing Miami this week. Aaron Donald could have, like, so much. Anyway, to my top 3, at the bottom, I've got Tom Brady at my 3rd. The reason he's number 3 is I've been back and forth, but the reason I put Tom Brady here is because he kind of started off a little rough. He never looked terrible, but he's had some games where, like, 2 picks in 1 game for Brady's kind of weird. That's what he had week 1. But he's second in the NFL right now for passing touchdowns. For this season behind who I have also on my list, no surprise, Russell Westbrook. He's somewhere on my list.
Russell
but he's
Westbrook.
At 18
Russell Wilson.
Too many sports. Anyway, but you know, Bucks are 5-2. Brady's 3 because he has more weapons, I believe, than the guy that I have at number 2. But yeah, so I have Brady at 3. I think he's putting on a really, really nice year. Already almost hit 2,000 yards in the air at 19-10. So I am... No, I'm not, like, super high on Brady, but I think that if Brady continues to play how he has, like, he had a really good game when they played the Chargers against Justin Herbert. He looked terrible against the Bears, but that's a great Bears defense. But still, he looked super good
Nick Foles.
Huh?
He's scared of Nick Foles.
Oh, you're right. He's definitely not scared of Khalil Mack. It's only Nick Foles. You're correct.
Hey, he didn't want to shake his hand at the end of the game again.
Last time that happened was the
Super Bowl.
Get out of here with that trash. Yeah, hey. Also, how's your Super Bowl winning head coach, Doug Peterson?
He's you to the promised land once again? Definitely been questionable this year. But I think it's more of not having an offensive coordinator.
Right. Neither does New England, so I feel that pain for the first time in the past. Oh, man, that's like actually my entire life. That's wild. Anyway, so yeah, that's why I've got Brady at 3. It's not, I don't want to say inconsistent, but he's had some games where he's been crazy and then some games where he's just been like, yeah, no, that's a great field general type of thing.
Anthony, yeah. Just before that, for Tom Brady, you could also say for his case that, you know, he did get Gronk there and probably Antonio Brown would have not signed there if, you know, Tom Brady hadn't made the move that he did last offseason.
Yep.
So you could maybe throw those in there as why he's the most valuable player.
Okay, I see where you're coming from, but I am also not the type of guy that would go, I don't add that kind of stuff when I say most valuable. Yeah. Some people that's do. Fair. Like, I get, but that's not how I, mine is almost strictly on the field stuff. So.
Fair. Anthony?
Number three. It's kind of a hot take, but I have Kyler Murray at number three. I think after the game against the Seahawks last night, he has put himself in the MVP running. He's very impressive, and they should have easily won that. Or they were down by like 10 with like 4 minutes to go, and he led his team to tie the game. And they should have easily won in overtime after their defense got a pick. He led the team down the field, and their kicker missed a field goal. Seahawks got it back, and then the Cardinals got it back, and then they ended up winning the game finally. But I just think that showing was great, and he's only going to be doing that in the future. So he's going to be consistent, and with DeAndre Hopkins especially, he will be able to put up great numbers with him. And he's also one of the faster, more mobile quarterbacks in the league. So he's going to run a lot, score a lot of rushing touchdowns. So, just big numbers with him in the future.
Yeah. Okay. For sure. That's a pretty good. I like Kyler Murray. I mean, I don't have.
He's top. He's like a top 10 guy for me, but he's not top 3.
Yeah. Fair. So, what would your counter to that be, Jacob?
As in, why not top
3? Yeah. Why he shouldn't be top 3?
I don't think he's done enough to be top 3 compared to these guys. Okay, my thing is, nothing about this Tampa team has changed except for Brady and Gronk. But I think Gronk honestly might be a downgrade from O.J. Howard at the purely what they do, what they use their tight ends for. Anyway, and they had Jameis Winston last year, and they did not look near this good. You know what I mean? That's the thing for me. And so, but compared to last year, Kyler's not what changed. It's the pieces around him that changed. And that's when you get into more of a more improved type of thing. I think, honestly, if Kyler keeps playing this out of his brain, he could be in contention for most improved.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's fair.
Fair.
But I'm pretty sure the NFL technically doesn't do a most improved. They just do a comeback player of the year.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
It's just like a stat that I do in my head type of thing. Okay. Like, they don't give out a NFL does not do that. They have a comeback player of the year.
So, yeah. For a comeback player of the year, you'd have to be at least good before, right?
Well, it's somebody that didn't play last year, like decent, didn't play the year before, and then came back and played super well.
They had to not play the year before, or they just
get injured. So it's like a comeback type of thing.
Oh, they couldn't just be really bad? Somebody has a really good year? Or like they're, you know, a solid player, and then they have a couple really bad years, and then they have a super good season.
Okay, like the previous ones for comeback player of the year, it was like Ryan Tannehill, who got hurt and came back. Andrew Luck got hurt, came back. Keenan Allen got hurt, came back. Jordy Nelson got hurt, came back. Eric Berkley had cancer, got hurt, came back. Gronkowski, it's always been guys that have been hurt and came back.
Oh, okay, yeah. Is that just more for the narrative of it, I guess?
Not really sure.
Yeah. So I guess Alex Smith would be, he just came to mind, but would he be like probably one of the guys that could get
in
this
the
year?
Category, but he hasn't, I don't think, done well enough.
Oh, okay.
Type of thing.
Yeah.
Or if AB comes back and is wild, the NFL might not want to give it to him, but I feel like he could deserve it.
Yeah. Fair enough.
Anyway, yeah. So that was my counter argument to Kyler Murray.
That was good. So you can move on now to your number two on your MVP ladder if you want.
For sure. For two, I got Ben Roethlisberger. Stat wise,
I was not expecting that. Wow, that came out of left field.
Why?
I haven't heard much about him. For me, but I don't know about what Anthony thinks.
He's not lighting up anything wild. Like nothing about his stat line is wild. But the Steeler team is scarily good.
I've heard the Steelers are really good, like the most balanced team, well-balanced team in the NFL right now.
They're a very and granted, they also hadn't really played anybody until this week when they played Tennessee, And this could change a lot for me this next week because they play Baltimore. But 13 touchdowns, not a ton. Four picks, not great. But just what he's doing, like if you look at the guys that he has quote-unquote as weapons, it's not really a lot. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Ben Roethlisberger's been playing super well. Like, stat-wise, it's nothing wild, but he's kept his team in games. That Tennessee game, I think that if Pittsburgh had almost anybody else in quarterback, they probably would have lost that lead just because of I'm high on Ben Roethlisberger. I think he actually might be comeback player of the year. We talked about that.
I could see that.
Yeah, he's a guy definitely. That I think could – no, but for me, if he keeps playing like this, and like I said, stat-wise, nothing's crazy. This week was bad because he had the three picks. But coming into this week, he had 11 touchdowns and one pick. Like I said, it's not insane like the guy I have at number one. But it's just good, consistent, not making a ton of mistakes, not taking a lot of sacks, and just smart football. And I think that that's why I have him at two. How old is he? He doesn't have weapons. Not Brady old. He's like 38. Yeah, 38.
Oh, wow. So is this – would you say this is like a career year for him? Or has he been
better before? No, 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 no.
Okay. Has he ever finished top two in MVP voting before? Is he that good of a player?
I feel like he has, but when he had Antonio Brown.
See, I get so confused with – so, like, his probably best year
would have been – he hasn't won an MVP, has he? I don't.
No.
I didn't think that, but I don't know. It's just like weird because, like, in the NBA, like people like Dwayne Wade, the highest he's ever finished in MVP voting was third. Like, and Dwayne Wade just seems like a bigger superstar to me than Ben Roethlisberger does. But I don't know if that's a fair assessment. But also, like, quarterbacks, I guess.
Okay. Are, like, the way that I look at Ben Roethlisberger historically. It's kind of how I look at, like, in the NBA, who's a good example of this? I'll use Boston.
Okay.
It's not a great example, but Boston could never get past LeBron to get to the finals.
Yeah.
Ben Roethlisberger had Tom Brady and could never get to the Super Bowl. If that makes sense, kind of.
Okay.
It's kind of weird, and it's not the greatest, like, take I've ever thought of in my entire analogy I've ever thought of. But no, I like Ben Roethlisberger this year specifically. Like, they've always been good. Like, his probably best year would have been, like, 2018, the last year with AB. He had, like, 35 touchdowns or 34 touchdowns is what it looks like. And he's never a super consistent. I don't know. I like Ben Roethlisberger this year. Anyway, Anthony, what's your number two? We're going kind of deep into this.
Number two. Pretty obvious one. Patrick Mahomes. He's been having another good, solid year. Have some of his stats pulled up. He has 16 touchdowns thrown and only one interception on the season. So he's doing exactly what he needs to do. And, I mean, he has a lot of weapons, speedy weapons, Tyreek Hill, Mecole Hardman. So, and then he has Clyde Edwards-Helaire, who's been very good as well. But no,
Le'Veon Bell.
He hasn't done much recently though. So obviously,
well, he hasn't done much because last week was his first week. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I saw him have a big run though. At least pretty big. He had like, really? I don't know, 12, 15 yards on a run.
That's solid. But yeah, I mean, I feel like most people expected Patrick Mahomes to be in the MVP ladder as well. Better. Yeah.
That's why I don't have him there. I think he's underperforming with what he has around him.
Yeah, I guess.
That's why I'm how I'm at with Mahomes. He's probably a top 10 MVP if we were to go all the way down to 10. But he's definitely not a top three for me. But I get where you're coming from.
Mm-hmm. He also has Travis Kelce, which I forgot to mention. Is probably best weapon.
Out of all the quarterbacks in the NFL, I feel like he is the best opportunity to be good, and I do not think that he's playing the best out of all quarterbacks. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He's got the flashy plays that ESPN is always going to show you, but he doesn't. There's just been some things that I just haven't loved about him this season.
Yeah.
Like, I can agree with he's that. Why they lost that Raiders game.
Raiders game. Mm-hmm.
Not that, like, 22 for 43 is bad if you want to be an MVP caliber quarterback. When they played the Chargers and almost lost, like, you see a dip when they almost lose games. He's what played bad. You know what I mean? And you can argue that makes him all the more valuable to his team. But I think MVP is a combination of being important to your team and showing up when your team needs it. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. For sure.
So, that's sorry. I kind of cut you off there, but that's why.
No, you're all good.
So, I guess, Jacob, who's your number one?
Russell Wilson.
Yeah, that's who I would thought.
Yeah, me too. But so,
we both agree with that one. 6 picks. 3 of them were last night. One of them was kind of not his fault. 2 of them were really bad his fault.
Yep.
But, like, almost 1,900 yards, 22 touchdowns, and through 7 weeks, I'm bad at math, but I'm pretty sure that puts him on pace for, like, 60-something. So, like, he's playing out of his mind. Like, this week was the first week he looked human. Like, this week against that Cardinals defense was the – and they're not a great defense by any means, but, like, this week was the first week that I – like, he looked human. Because if you go 4 touchdowns, no picks, 5 touchdowns, 1 pick, 5 touchdowns, no picks, 2 touchdowns, 1 pick, 3 touchdowns, 1 pick, and then 3-3.
Mm.
So, no, he's just playing out of his mind. And then they play San Francisco this next week. Then they go to Buffalo, and then they play the Rams, teams that I feel like will not slow him down by any way, shape, or form. So that's why I got Wilson as my MVP favorite right now.
Mm.
Yep.
Fair enough.
Pretty much the same what Jacob said. And I think he's going to have a comeback week next week. I think he's like at least 5 touchdowns thrown. And DK Metcalf didn't have a great game last game either, so I think both will make a huge impact in the next game.
And what I'm saying is, like, he's got a really good relationship with Tyler Lockett, DK Metcalf. So I'm not saying that when I trash on Mo, like, I take points off of Mahomes for having too good of weapons, quote-unquote. I'm not saying that Russell Wilson doesn't have weapons around him, but I feel like Russell Wilson elevates those weapons more than Patrick Mahomes elevates the weapons around him.
Agreed. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
If that makes sense type of thing. I feel like Travis Kelce and Tyreek Hill and all those guys with another quarterback that's not garbage could also be good football players. I feel like if you put Tyler Lockett in a different situation, I don't know if he excels as much type of thing. Anyway.
Mm. Yeah, fair enough. To be honest, like, I know I don't know a whole lot, but, like, just from your lists that you just gave, your ladders, honestly, Jacob, you seem a little bit more hot takey with yours than Anthony does.
Yeah.
Just because I think Anthony's come on and he's been pretty calm.
I would say I've played it a little safer than usual times.
Mm-hmm. And it's not bad though.
Yeah, I'll stick with it. And like, this is also week 7, and yeah,
fair enough.
I do not think Mahomes is top 3 though. That's my big
top point. What
3?
Oh, yeah. Where would you put him? You think
5?
Another name though to watch out for is Tannehill. 15 touchdowns.
Yeah. Okay, one there pick. It is.
2 picks.
There it
15
is.
15 touchdowns, 2 picks.
How many times has he thrown the ball?
He's thrown it 203 times.
Do you want to know how many times Russell Wilson has thrown the football? I have to do the math.
219.
What?
Yeah, 115.
You're a week behind.
No, he's only had. Wait, unless the numbers haven't updated from last game. But. What does yours say?
What are you on?
I'm on ESPN.
That's why they're a whole week behind every time. Seriously. Go to Pro Football Reference. You have to do the math yourself, but it's up to date at least.
I've heard that Tannehill has been doing really well though.
He's been playing well, but he's not an MVP. He's not an MVP guy in my book. He's made like if he's the reason. It's like Derrick Henry. Like why would you? I don't think that a team could have two guys on the MVP ladder that high. Because for me, Derrick Henry's 4, Mahomes is 5, Aaron Donald's 6. Murray's probably like 7 or 8. Yeah, I just don't think I could have Tannehill near that high.
Where's Lamar?
Low. He hasn't done anything this year.
He's been very average.
Average. I don't want to say bad because it's not bad. It's just not been anything spectacular.
So he's just like a sophomore slump? Or, well, I guess this is his third year. But
kind of. And maybe he'll come. Teams know how to play against him now, is what I think happened.
Oh.
What number did you say? 219? Anthony for Russell. It's 269 for.
It's 269.
For Russell Wilson. And then what about that's Mahomes. Why did I add up Mahomes? I'm so stupid.
Tannehill.
Oh, no. Yours might be right. Because it says through 6 games.
Because he had a bye week, Russell Wilson.
Yep.
So I.
There's no way Tannehill's playing that efficiently. There's no way. That's going to blow my mind.
No, yeah. I mean, A.J. Brown has been great coming back from injury. So, no.
Okay.
I mean,
my thing also with MVP is, like, you want a guy that can go out and win you a game.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think Ryan Tannehill is the guy that will go out and win me a game.
Yeah, and that's fair. But I was just saying a name to look out for is Tannehill. So.
Yeah. Yeah, so I guess that should probably be it for the MVP ladder. Yeah. Before we move off of NFL, though, I saw Andy Dalton went down for the Cowboys.
Yep, yeah. Very bad. Very bad hit.
It was gross.
Yeah. I guess
has perfect level of gross.
Mm-hmm.
My boss yeah. stick.
And so was it so bad just because like he was sliding feet first? Is that really like you don't hit somebody like that just because like I saw
no, you just don't hit somebody like that at all. It doesn't matter how they're sliding yep. in. You don't it just no, it's just an overall gross play.
It was very late. He saw him sliding and he lowered his helmet as just
like it looked like Vontaze Burfict was reincarnated, and that's not a compliment in any way, shape, or form.
Yep. The video I saw, it didn't look like it was helmet to helmet, but was it? You guys, I thought it was his shoulder, like he just hit him with his shoulder right into his helmet. But still, it's probably not.
Either way, but
it was like, just it so wasn't helmet to helmet. My thing was more how he was sliding, and he launched at the head.
Yeah.
That's the thing that got me. It's not like there was anything that wasn't, like, it just.
Mm-hmm. So is he going to be suspended for any more games?
No,
or is
he's
it just
not suspended at all. Just fined, which blows
well,
my mind.
Well, he got kicked out of the game, though.
Mm-hmm.
I saw.
Yeah, but
so
no
at least
suspensions.
He was.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. But I guess I'm feeling for Cowboys fans right now because who they have at quarterback now after that?
Some sixth-rounder from last year, from the last draft. Let me find him.
It's a glorious name. But DiNucci. Ben DiNucci.
Yep. Mm.
He's like a sixth or a seventh rounder, and he's from is it like Rice or something like that?
I think it was.
I don't know. Anyway, Ben DiNucci. This man doesn't even have a Wikipedia page. No, he does. James Madison. I knew it was someone cool like that. But yeah.
Yeah, I just thought since like, I heard people saying, you know, Andy Dalton, one of the best backups in the league. So after Dak went down, people were still thinking Cowboys might be able to put together a season. But it's looking like they've lost too much at this point, you think?
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They're bad. They're very bad.
Yep. Yeah. And they've dealt with some very bad injuries as well, especially on that O-line.
The NFC East is going to have like a 7-win team be the playoff representative, and it's terrible.
Hey, we'll see once the Eagles get their players back. They might go on a run.
No. They're not going to go on a run. You don't go on a run when you're bad.
We have the we have the Giants this Sunday. Or not Giants. We just play the Giants. The Cowboys this Sunday. So we can.
Congratulations. You can beat up on another team and win by one. Thumbs up.
I'm going at least 20 on this one.
You're going to win by 20?
I think so.
Okay, yeah. You only beat a Giants team by one where their biggest threat was out with a torn ACL. So.
Yes, but they did match up well on defense against us, so.
Hmm. All right. Well, I think that's enough NFL talk, too, for now, I guess, for this episode. But we can, unless you guys have anything else.
Nope, I'm good. I'm good.
Okay. We can get into college football for a little bit.
Yeah.
Start off with the Husker game on Saturday. I saw. Well, let's say your take, your prediction didn't age super well, Jacob.
What?
That your prediction that you had for the game.
What was my exact score? I don't remember.
I think it was. I might have to go back and check, but I think it was 56-35. Is what you predicted in the Huskers' wow. favor?
Okay. Okay. Obviously, I wasn't actually serious about the Huskers' favor. In all legitimacy, though, every time outside of the podcast, I might have messed around and I should have said it then so my takes would be more credible. I said, I think Nebraska is going to hang with OSU a lot more than people think they will, and then OSU will pull away at the end. But I think that score, the score that I said, is what the game felt like. And what I mean by that is the final score is 52-17, but the game did not feel like Nebraska was I can't do math. Yeah. Is that 35-point loss, right? Or
25? Yes.
25.
Wait. No, 35.
35.
Yeah. Okay. It didn't feel like we lost by 35. Like, in no imagination did the product on the field, and I feel like OSU fans would agree with me that it didn't feel like they won by 35 points. My thing, and I'm not a big moral victory guy, one thing that I saw is Nebraska is a way better football team than they were last year. Another thing, our run defense is so much improved, I'm happy as a child in a candy store. Our secondary is going to be hurting for this next game, but I think Nebraska has a genuine chance to compete in every single game they're going to have for the rest of the year. I genuinely think that. And people that didn't actually watch the game. Yep. They watch the scoreboard. Exactly. And I do not care about your opinion.
Yeah.
Officiating was also awful.
It was bad both ways. Nebraska got oofed a little bit harder because they lost guys for next week. But the officiating crew, I was not thrilled with either side, how they handled anything. But yeah.
Yeah. As far, like you said, talking about what the scoreboard looks like, looking at the stats, it kind of looks like Martinez and McCaffrey kind of carried the offense.
Yeah, no, they did, because that's how it's designed.
Okay.
And we also don't have our two best, what I consider our two biggest receiving threats, Omar Manning and Xavier Betts, did not get a lot of time, if any. I tried to pay attention, but I missed some of it because I got really sad because of the score. I was disheartened, but we still played okay. But I was still disheartened. The biggest thing for me is I think Martinez is the better quarterback and the better player right now. And if he wants to stay the better player, he needs to cut down on dumb mistakes. It's no surprise that the Nebraska offense is going to ask you to run the football. And Scott Frost said it today. If our quarterbacks are going to run like they're running backs, they need to protect the ball like they're running backs. And that's exactly what they need to do. So I think personally Martinez is the better player right now. I don't think he has a better ceiling anymore. I think McCaffrey has a higher ceiling. But today, I think Luke. Anyway, I think Martinez is the better football player, but he needs to cut down on his mistakes or else it's just not, he's not going to be able to show it because we're going to move on. You know what I mean? Like, that throw to Cade Warner, you do not throw, like, there's no reason to beam it in there that hard with, to a wide open receiver. You know what I mean? And one thing I did like to see, though, is he looked more confident. I don't know. I'm kind of taking over. Anthony, what did you see with the game? Sorry.
I liked how we played as well, and I thought we would have still been in the game if we didn't get those targeting calls on us, especially, and some other questionable calls. Some holding calls called on us were atrocious, too. Like, there was one where Farniok got a holding call, but he just pancaked the guy on a run, which is perfectly legal.
It wasn't the pancake. It was how he got him to the pancake. Granted, it's a questionable call. But it was terrible because I remember exactly when it happened. The angle that TV showed didn't show the holding. They showed it, but like the hand that you couldn't see was wrapped around and holding.
Oh, okay.
That's what I also really did not like the cameras and how they handled it, because there was a couple like with that crazy touchdown by the Ohio State freshman wide receiver, absolutely gifted athlete, and I'm not gonna be able to hold on. Ohio State wide outs. Jackson Smith and Jagaba had an absolutely crazy catch in the back of the end zone. But what I didn't like is it looked like he bobbled the ball when he hit the ground and used the ground to help make the catch. And they just wouldn't show it. Like, they only focus on was his foot in, which it was. I'm not trying to take anything away from any of the athletes at Ohio State. Like, absolutely nothing. They were... I think that Justin Fields is the best quarterback in college football, hands down. Trevor is a great quarterback, but that, and I understand Nebraska's defense isn't anything special, but when you're tearing up Wake Forest and Syracuse, it's hard for me to get excited about you as a quarterback either. You know what I mean? Like, so you can't use the whole level of competition thing.
Which, didn't Syracuse actually hang with them pretty well?
They did, yeah.
It was like 21-52.
Oh.
Earlier in the game.
I saw a notification that said like Syracuse is hanging with them.
This is another thing I didn't like about the media is with the Big Ten, they just treat stuff so differently. Like the score was within like 3 at halftime difference, and experts were saying Ohio State's struggling with Nebraska, and it's like Clemson's got a hold over Syracuse. The games were I wasn't watching the Syracuse game, so I don't know if it didn't feel close or what. But I just was like, I'm excited that college football's back. I think that Ohio State's the best team in college football. And I hope they get an opportunity and COVID doesn't shut the world down again so they can prove it. Yeah.
Yeah. Speaking of Justin Fields, I saw he went, I think it was like 21 for 22.
Yeah, no, he's good. Should have been 20 for 22 because there was an uncatchable pass interference. There was an uncatchable ball that they called pass interference on that I did not like, that I think should have been an incompletion. But regardless, that's still a crazy stat line. We couldn't stop. He was the only part of their running game that worked against our team, and I think that he's a very special player. And if the Jets do end up getting the first overall pick, I think they'll have a genuine decision to make next year because they'll still be the worst team. And Trevor Lawrence said he'll just stay at Clemson for another year if he has to. So.
About the Husker game as well, I was upset we didn't get to see as much as the running game with Mills and Tompkins, who impressed me a lot.
Tompkins played really, really good at the end of the game, but yeah, no, I know what you mean.
Yep, and also we didn't get to see any of our receivers as well. We never tested them. Like, later in the game, I was just like, why don't we just, you know, throw a little bit? Like, we're going to lose.
No, for sure. 100%. Nebraska fans as a fan base need to pick what they want to do. Do they want to go back to the 90s and be a ground and pound? Or do they want to evolve? Like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Because you've got people, and it's hard for us because we weren't alive when we were good. Fun fact, the last time they won a national championship, not a national championship, a conference championship, only one of us in this call was alive, and that was Logan. It's that bad.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, no, you seem that's wild, isn't it? It's terrible.
Oh yeah, we did lose in the Big 12 against Texas in that
2009.
We were in the championship though, basically.
Yeah, but we haven't won a championship since 1999.
Yeah.
And it was the 98-99 season, I think. I'll look again to make sure. I might have been alive, but like when we're going, if the question is if we were alive and not do we remember, that's not okay. As a program. There we go. As a program that prides themselves on being like what Nebraska prides itself in being, you've got people from all sorts of different eras, and I understand that it's different. And so you've got people from when we were good in the 90s that say we need to go back to ground and pound and play hard defense. Then you've got people that are like, well, we need to air the ball out a little bit more. And I think that Frost is the guy that'll find a happy balance and make people happy because we'll be good again. But, like, I totally get what you're saying. I would like to see more Mills as well, Anthony. But what I did like to see is we have a lot of different offensive sets, and I do not think we brought them all out against OSU. I really don't.
Yep. Hmm. And we still got to avoid the screens because they still don't work. That was the little problem.
Austin Allen should not be on this football team. And of course, the one drive, I'm freaking out because I get very passionate. Surprise when I'm watching Husker football because I don't get passionate about anything else. But there was a drive where there was like three plays in a row where Austin Allen gave up on the block before the play was over and his guy got the tackle. And it literally infuriated me. And then, of course, the next play, after I text somebody, Austin Allen needs to get cut from the team, he gets like a 35-yard play. And I'm like, okay, cool. Good for you. I could have made that play a 30-yard play because I'm not as fast as you. But it was like a very well-executed play. He did his job. But on plays where he doesn't get the ball, and he's our new tight end one, and that's what's terrifying. Because I don't know if anything official has came out on Jack Stoll, but it did not look good at all.
We also have the Rutgers transferred, Vokalek.
Vokalek, but I just don't know if – we didn't see a lot of Vokalek yesterday. We only saw him once Stoll went out, which I did not like. But we also have Bubak from former Lincoln Christian, Crusader in Lincoln there. He came back from Arizona State this year.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, I don't know if I see anything official on his injury.
There's also Kurt Raftall, the 6'8 dude, but
I'm not excited for any of our tight end except for the man that's not in a Husker jersey yet, Thomas Fedone.
Oh, can't wait for him.
He's about to be good.
I think he will definitely be.
Also, while we're on this Husker game, if those who listen and know the lore of the show, we have the Corner of Shame currently is filling up. I want to start a different corner.
Mm.
And I'm trying to think of a good word that rhymes of fame. It's the Corner of Fame.
Okay.
And
so
this,
it's the positive counterpart.
The positive counterpart to the Corner of Shame. And the person I would like to add to this corner of greatness is Joel Klatt. For those of you that don't know who Joel Klatt is, he is who is calling the game against Ohio State. He didn't like the targeting calls. He didn't like a lot of things. But one thing that he did do is he defended college football in general. Welcome to the Corner of Fame, Joel Klatt. Not that it matters.
Or we can call it Jacob's List of Dudes or something like that.
Jacob's List of Guys Being Dudes. Just what a dude. What a guy. Jacob's List of Dudes. Anyway, I don't know if I want to have something just that I have a list of dudes. That makes me
just
kind of
uncomfortable. Just because you usually use dude as like a really positive.
Yeah.
Like that guy's being a dude.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just thought that would
be funny. No, for sure. Anyway, welcome to the Corner of Fame or Jacob's Corner of Dudes, Joel Klatt. Congratulations. But with that, we're going to wrap up our football talk for this week. There's a ton of stuff that we can continue to go on because we have sports back, but we're going to call it short here, make sure our podcast doesn't go too long. But lucky for you, there will be basketball talk, but it will be coming in an additional episode, which we will be recording shortly, but it's going to be a separate episode for you guys. So, Logan?
Yeah. So, like, comment, subscribe, all that stuff.
Oh, yeah.
If you're watching on YouTube. On Spotify, I follow the feed. I said it last episode, but we would really like some comments from you guys to get, like, mailbag question type stuff.
Yeah, for sure. That'd be awesome.
That we could do a whole segment over. So make sure to do that. But, yeah, it was fun to have Anthony on, talk some football, and now we're about to have Anthony on again to talk about some basketball.
Yeah, it's great to be on here.
Yeah. As always, thank you guys for listening. And we will talk to you guys next time.
Adios, amigos.